I feel like that video just, I just watched it back, made it look like I'm like a massive loner. And I was like, oh, okay, that's not what I wanted to get across. I do have friends that I talk to regularly. I have parents that I talk to regularly, family that exists. So yeah, I'm not trying to say that, oh, I never talk to anyone and I'm just a loner in my cave all the time. I think, oh, shoot, how do I say this properly? Yeah, I definitely fluctuate between the like complete lurker days because introversion, but yeah, there's definitely people that I talk to on a regular basis. I'm not completely loner. Okay, anyway, just wanted to get that point across. Bye. Here's a podcast that's probably going to take a lot of editing because I haven't fully thought through anything like this. And I think the conclusion, and again, I always come back to this, but the conclusion probably seems like gotta have to start going to church again. But there's a thing that makes me not like that conclusion, and it's probably because I still want to hold on to the materialist notions of things. And if you actually want to be a proper Christian or any, most religious frameworks ask of you to do something, there's a responsibility associated with it. And I don't know whether or not I want the responsibility. And the thing about the materialist stuff is that you can just be like, hey, look, my bank account is this big. And because my bank account is this big, then I must be of value somehow, at least economically, where you can be like, oh, I contributed this much and therefore I got paid this much. So therefore I'm contributing to society in that way. But there's definitely more to contributing to society than just the material gains. There's other components too. And, you know, if I'm on my deathbed and I'm like, the only thing I can point to is my bank account, then that's probably not the way to go. So there probably is something there. But I don't know. I don't know why there's such a impetus to shirk responsibility and such a there. For whatever reason, there is a comfort in the atomization of society, which I think is a problem. There's a comfort in being in your little hovel and being like, well, I don't have to do anything. There's the world isn't asking anything of me. Or if I wanted to make it seem that way, I could live a reality in which there is little to no responsibility of me beyond do my work, make money from doing my work. And that's probably not the best way to go. But before I get too far off the tangent, I was just watching a podcast from Alex O'Connor again, where he was having a discussion with Ian McGilchrist. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And I've listened to things. Oh, shoot. Do I even have this open? Nope, I don't. Okay. Yeah. Here. So I listened to things with Ian McGilchrist in the past, but I don't think it sunk in the same way. Like, you know how you'll listen to an idea a bunch of times, but it never really properly sinks in until you've heard it like the third time. I think this is the third interview I've heard with him. And this one gets, I don't know. He's talked about the left brain versus right brain thinking before, but something was more salient about it this time. And I think it was because of that earlier podcast that I watched with Jordan Peterson and Alex talking about the multiple resolutions at which you can think of things and the different ways of finding truth. And they point to that again, where right now in society, we're very much so in that left-brained sort of what is the answer? Like everything is static slash has a explicit meaning. Everything can be categorized explicitly as things, the prop logic and all those sorts of things. Whereas the right brain can more look at things in its totality rather than just as the specific thing, or the specific resolution that you're looking at. And one of the things that I found interesting about listening to this was because I've been doing a lot of language learning lately, and one of the methods, or the main primary method I'm using to learn, is this thing called comprehensible input. And the idea is that rather than doing this approach to language that we have in school, where it's like, oh, you've got to learn the grammar structure, and then you learn all the words, and you do a bunch of quizzes on the words, and the words have definitions and all those sorts of things, it's more like a baby learns, where you start with really simple language, kind of like a surrogate mother would give you in terms of language, because the way that we talk to a baby is not the way that we talk to adults. So you're talking in really simple terms, and then you slowly work your way up to more and more complexities, because you, just because we have a definition of a word doesn't mean that that's actually the totality of what that word's able to do. That's why the definitions kind of suck, where you'll look at the definition of a word and it's like, there's a bunch of different definitions and a bunch of different ways to use the words, but we all have like that innate intuition of, oh, this word means this, or the word changes meaning too because of slang. And that all happens so fast that it doesn't actually make sense when you think about trying to concretize what the language is, because the language is kind of like a living being and changes all the time. And that's more in that right brain area of like, there's a poetry to the language. And that's one of the issues that foreigners learning a language end up having, is that if you do the traditional method of learning languages, then you're thinking that every word has a fixed analogous word or fixed equivalent word to a different word in your language. But that's not true at all. There are some words that exist in some languages that don't have a proper equivalent in other languages. And you just have to be content with that being a thing. So then you don't force the language to have all the assumptions that your native tongue has with it. And I think that that right brain mode of thinking, where you can look at words and be like, okay, it might have this definition, but it might also have these definitions, and there's different ways of using it, and I have to figure out all the context there, rather than the left brain approach would be like, oh, this word means to talk, and that's the only thing this word can ever mean, is whatever to talk can do in English, this word does that. And sometimes that might be the case, but that won't always be the case. So it's like a good, I've just been thinking about it more because of language learning and its connection there, where it's like this comprehensible input approach is way more in that right brain level than left brain. And the way that we traditionally do education tends to be in that left brain mode of thinking of like, okay, what's the logic behind this thing? And what are the roots of the English language? Like anyone that's ever done an English class where you have like the vocab quizzes and all that stuff, that's a load of bullshit. It's just like, no, that's not, you don't write a good essay because you read the thesaurus for the word that you're looking for. And you're like, ah, that's the word that I want. And you do it that way, because you're not going to use the word in that poetic way. If you do it that way, you can kind of get at it, but it's much better to just have like an imbued sense of what this word means, because you've seen so many different contexts of the words. And then you're like, ooh, that's a nice word. That kind of fits the vibe that I'm going for. And then you put in that word rather than just being like, okay, what's a better way to say therefore? And then you look up the thesaurus to see if there's a different way that you could say therefore. And I'm like, no, that's a dumb way to approach it. That's not the best essay. So I don't know, that's been getting to me. With that, the fact that you can have things that are more in that, I don't know if the right word is liminal space, but something that's like, again, not concretized, it's just like floating there, and you're okay with that. You're okay that it's not everything needs that fixed definition. Something else that I was thinking about, and this was what was originally going to be this podcast, but I haven't written anything about it, was that one of the things that people more on the left in politics will say is that the primary issue is that the material needs aren't being met for a lot of people. So the idea is that, oh, you can no longer reach the American dream of buying the house and having kids, starting a family, and that sort of thing. And if we can find a way to make the economics work, then everything will just fall into place and be nice, and people won't be struggling anymore, and that sort of thing. And I'm very sympathetic to that argument, but I don't think that that actually solves the problem in the sense of, like, I don't think that just giving material wealth to people or providing opportunity in that way is the thing that'll just satisfy everyone. Like, say everyone has the ability to get a job that allows them to live properly and have enough leisure time and all those sorts of things. I'm like, people, the way that people that have leisure time are using their leisure time is not communal. Like, I that and I think that's the fundamental problem. I think that even if you were to solve the material needs, there was something that happened that made it so that we're not in communion as much anymore, especially if you're in a more secular tradition. And I'm sure there are some people that are not in this category, but I'm thinking of, like, the there's a lot of people that are just lurkers on the internet, where they're scrolling through TikTok videos, or they're watching Instagram reels, or they're watching YouTube, and that is their day. Or not even in an online sense, like even in a traditional media sense. Like, there are people that the main thing they're doing is, like, watching a bunch of Netflix or watching a bunch of Hulu shows or, like, whatever streaming service you may pick, or movies or something like that. And there are people that do that as, like, a solitary activity. That's not it as a community of people that gather to do a thing. It's like, I'm sure there are definitely people that, like, still do watch parties and all that sort of thing, but there's a lot of just that passive watching of content that isn't, it's it, and I don't know whether or not solving the material thing would be enough for that. Like, if you give everyone UBI and they're able to have enough money to buy a home and all that stuff, I what makes them not still be a lurker on the internet even with that material need met? Like, I just don't understand. Like, you might argue that, okay, if I am a retail worker and I have my minimum wage job and that's all I have, and then the only things that I can spend on because I make such a low wage are the entertainment, like subscription services and that sort of thing, then you could say that that's the issue, where they can't pay for the luxury of doing the other things. And it's like, okay, when we had communal things in the past, was it the case that that was a large financial burden to just, like, have a gathering where people can, like, go and have dinner together and that sort of thing? Like, I don't mean eating out. I mean just have it is making dinner for a large group of people and just doing that. Like, is that limited by the affordability of the thing? I feel like it's not, especially if people pool together their resources, then yeah, the costs is nothing at that point. It's the same thing as, like, anytime you have a potluck dinner, then everyone's bringing their own thing, and then all of a sudden you have more food than you can even feed the whole people. So, and because the people going to the potluck are usually of, like, wide varieties in terms of their socioeconomic status, then they all bring different things to the table, and some things might be disproportionately bigger, but that's okay because that person can provide that because they have the more material wealth, and then that allows everyone to be lifted up. And that's like that, but that's a communal thing. I don't see a equivalent way of doing that without it being like, oh, okay, we all know each other, and because we all know each other, we have the trust built of this community. And now we're going to do this thing. Like, can you have government sanctioned community? I don't think you can do that. And then again, if you just throw money at the problem, it's like, okay, so you threw money at the problem, and now they can buy more food, but they don't need to be part of a community in order to get that food. so they could afford DoorDash and all. Like, it just allows you to be even more in the isolated, atomized community of just like, okay, I'm in my bigger pod now because I can afford a house. And now in my bigger pod, I'm doing what I would have done in the smaller pod. And it's like, I don't know. Don't know whether the issue is purely material or not. Like, if you were to just throw money at the problem, would it solve the communal problem? Because the communal problem is important in the sense of, if you don't have community, what is the point of your life? If you don't have friends, if you don't have family, if you just don't have anyone that you could like call in an emergency, what kind of life is that? Is that a life worth living? It just doesn't seem to me that anyone thinks that that's true. Now, the people that are like sedated, where they're like, oh yeah, I'm able to watch my shows and I have people that I talk to on the internet or things like that, that might suffice, but that's not the full gamut. It's just not. I just don't think it is. I don't really have a good explanation for why. I would just suppose that, or in my anecdotal experience, I would say that in-person stuff is by far the highest fidelity content in terms of dealing with people. It's just like, there's something there that's just so much nicer than in a digital realm. Like, I prefer calling over text. If I can do a video call, even better, but the video call is still missing so much stuff where, if you're talking in real time and you're like interrupting each other, you can't get, because there's the slight enough latency. And then there's also the issue of, when you're hearing audio in your headphones, it's all turning into one audio wave. So it doesn't really work as well as when you're like in a room and you're able to like more easily hear. And then you can have more of that, like, oh, let me cut you off for a second so that I can bring up my point or something like that. Now, admittedly, people would be like, oh, you shouldn't cut off people in conversation, but I don't know. There's something about that. And then not even to mention like body language and things like that. And I have no idea how much smell contributes to when you're talking to other people, but I don't think materialism is enough. And I think I fluctuate a lot in that sense of thinking, oh, if I just make X amount of money, then I'll be able to do the community stuff, because the thing preventing me from doing the community stuff is the material stuff. Because, you know, if I had more material wealth, then I could invite people to things and then not worry about the, like, there's so much stuff where you're like, oh, okay. You know, it's like the really rich guy that owns a mansion and they host a ton of parties at their mansion. It's kind of like that dream is the sense that where I think about it, where I'm like, oh yeah, that's a way that you can achieve community. And I'm like, there's something about that that's just like not quite it, because, you know, if people are only coming to your thing because you have the material wealth and all that stuff, it's more it feels like one of those political games where you're like, oh, I have the power to bring important people to me and all that sort of thing. So that might not be the correct approach, rather than just being like, okay, how do you just normal dude do it where you're not rich as fuck? And the only thing that seems to be a way to do that, as far as I can tell, is religious communities. And that still annoys the crap out of me, because I don't know, there's just something that makes me uncomfortable about it. And the discomfort might very well just be the responsibility, where you're like, okay, I have more obligation here than I'm willing to grapple with. Ugh. Oh, I left it on this screen for too long. I should have been on this screen. You all have a lovely day. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.